Bible. This morning, turn to Romans chapter 4. We're going to be there in just a little bit. But several months ago, we were in men's Bible study on Thursday morning. For those of you who are men and have not participated in that, we meet out in the mall area, 6:30 a.m. on Thursday mornings. And we have a great time of fellowship and study in God's Word. And right now we're working our way through the book of Romans. And we're up to about chapter 12 right now. But a couple months ago, we were in chapter 4. And there was a phrase that had never really jumped out to me before as many times as I'd read through the book of Romans. And that phrase is hope against hope. And I couldn't quit thinking about that phrase. What does that phrase mean? You know, why does Paul choose, as he's talking about the story of Abraham and Abraham's faith, to communicate to us about this idea of hope against hope? Well, if you know the story of Abraham, is that he was chosen by God to lead God's people. And that Abraham had to walk in a lifestyle of faith to be obedient to what God had called him to do, who God had called him to be. And so when you think about that idea, and then when you understand that part of the promise that God made to Abraham was that he was to father this nation, multiple generations to follow him. But see, the truth of the matter, Abraham was old. And so when Abraham looked at the facts of the situation, his hope wasn't real great. The circumstances revolving around where he was in life, his hope wasn't strong. But he had the hope of God's promise, of what God told him. And so the more I thought about that, the more I read there in Romans and went back to Genesis, you know, that's the way we are a lot of times in our everyday circumstances. You know, our hope many times is in something else besides what God's told us. And so we have that struggle of hope against hope and what that really means. So that's where we're going today. And we're going to work our way through about six verses here in Romans chapter 4. And then I'm going to give you some practical direction from Psalms on how we can live in this hope that Abraham knew was real. Romans 4, 16 through 21 says, "For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations have I made you,' in the presence of him whom he," being Abraham, "believed. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, 'So shall your descendants be.' Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. You see a picture there of a man who heard what God said. He believed what God said, but still he was presented with the reality of life. You know, a lot of times you guys will come in here and you'll hear the teacher teach God's word, and you say, you know, I believe that. You know, that was a good word today. But then you walk out the double doors and into the parking lot, and life hits. Life is real. You go, man, I'm not sure that can really happen for me. And see, you see Abraham struggling with the same thing. That word, he contemplated. He considered it. He wrestled with that. But yet ultimately he chose to believe what God said. No matter what it looked like around him. No matter that he was old and his wife was past childbearing years, God had already said, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, and there's many promises like that throughout Scripture. You know, this was very specific for Abraham, that he became our model in choosing to believe God. But the reality of our world is, we have many opportunities like that too. You know, we're not going to be the father of a nation that God has chosen to present the answer to the world of Jesus Christ to. But each and every day we have things that we need answers to, that we need provision for, that we have needs to be met, and we walk out of a study of God's Word and say, yeah, you know, I believe that. And then you get into the reality and it becomes hard. But use the example of Abraham, that he believed and he didn't waver. Even though he contemplated, he considered the facts of the situation, just like you have to do. In the last part of that passage, verses 20 through 21 says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. In other words, he continued to walk in what he knew to be true, even though he couldn't see it. You know, he couldn't see that final answer. He couldn't see the final destination, but because he believed, he continued to walk in that. All the while giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And that's the idea of hope that I want you to get this morning. You see, because hope in Scripture, when we read that word, it's something that's an assurance. It's something that we can grab onto and say, this is real, even though I can't see it. Even though I don't know what's down the road for me, that there's a hope in what God has already said He's going to do. And that can be real in your life. It's an assurance. It's not something that you wish for, which is how we use that word many times. I hope this happens. I hope things get better. So the conflict comes in, where do we put our hope? Do we put it in our job? I've learned from my own experiences that that's kind of a sinking ground. Do we put it in our finances? For some of you who had massive 401ks a few years ago, they're probably not as massive. I'm depending on that. I'm putting my hope in that. And you're going, oh my gosh, where'd it go? It's not there anymore. hope against hope. Maybe you're putting it in a relationship. You know, I've for those of you who are unmarried, I've got to have a spouse. Just got to. That's what my hope's in. And I've got to do that. Christ is sufficient. He's enough. You can fill in your own blank. The things that you're struggling with this morning, that you wrestle hope against hope. Questions as you consider the idea of hoping against hope, believing in God and what He says, believing in the truth and the promises of His Word. In what or whom do you put your hope? Question I just posed. What is that? Think about that. Write it down. You know, right now, what are you hoping in? Where is your hope? In what area of your life are you taking control when you should be waiting on God? See, because that's what happens in the day-to-day operations of life, is that we walk out on Sunday and believe what God said. But by 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, God hadn't done it yet. And Monday at 5 p.m., He still hadn't done it yet. So we take control. I'll take care of this. I can do this. See, and that's what Abraham did. Go back and read the Genesis account. He knew what God said and he believed it. But he got antsy. He got tired of waiting. He saw the circumstances. You know, as Mike talked about a few weeks ago when we were looking at Islam. You know, Abraham's decision to have a child with Hagar changed history. Because Abraham couldn't wait on what God had told him he would do. But he believed it. But in the reality of his life, couldn't wait. In what area of your life are you presently waiting for God to perform? And I use that word from the Scripture with quotations, not to jump up and down and be your entertainment to perform, but to meet your need. In being fully assured that what God had promised, He was able to perform. He was able to make real in Abraham's life. Just like He can in your life. So you're no different. God chose Abraham to do this. God's chosen you to do something else. To be involved in another area of God's plan. So we see those words that I've got there on the screen throughout that passage. You've got the promise as the kind of the foundation, the center of it. That's what it was all based on. This is what God said. And then we see Abraham walking and making his decisions based on faith through grace. Because see, it wasn't a faith walk that Abraham could do all by himself. It was because God had chosen him, had given him the grace to do it, which enabled him to be active while he was waiting on God. Because the kind of waiting on God I'm talking about is not one that you just sit down in your easy chair and say, "Okay, God, man, come be my genie. Come be my Santa Claus." Because sometimes He doesn't do it in that order. He does it when He knows best to meet our needs. So we have to wait on Him. Because see, in Abraham's perfect plan, he and Sarah would have had Isaac much earlier. He would have taken control of the problem. So So because of God's grace in his life, in him choosing to believe and to trust what God had told him through the promise, he had hope. And he lived in that. He lived a hope-filled life, even though sometimes he did waver. Sometimes he did contemplate. But not the point of believing God. He continued to live in that. So how do we believe by faith, through grace, that the promises of God can be trusted to provide us hope? We wait on the Lord. Which sometimes is a quick thing. It really is. God does provide for us quickly. But sometimes it's months, years. But we continue to believe and wait on what God has for us. So waiting on God allows us to give him glory for his strength. Anybody need strength this morning from God? You need wisdom to make choices? You need God's love to deal with people? And you need to know that God is reliable among all others. Among your money, your houses, your jobs, your friends, your positions, all that stuff. He's reliable over all that. All that's going to fade. It's going to pass away. So there stems our hope. But how do we accomplish it on a day-to-day basis? We wait. So how do we live hope-filled lives? We learn to wait on God's strength when we're weak. We learn to wait on the wisdom of God's answers when we don't know. We learn to wait on the response of love when we've tried all else. And we learn to wait on the reliability of God's word when the suggestions of the world seem insufficient. What does the Bible say about waiting on the Lord? I'm going to give you 12 things, 12 different ways that you can wait on the Lord. Sometimes you may have to do all these. Sometimes you may only need one. So as we work through these, I want you to make notes. You've got places there on your high notes. You make note, that one, that's how I need to wait on the Lord. So you can walk out of here this morning knowing that I can have hope in what God says to be true. First way is to wait expectantly. Isaiah 40:31 says, "Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength." So you get more than you already have. It's new, it's fresh when you choose to wait on the Lord. "They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Anybody tired? Anybody weary? Need a little energy? Friday morning, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, visiting family. And I'm in the process of training for a half marathon, which I'm going to run in 2 weeks. And so I had to do a 10-mile run on Saturday. You know, and I was thinking about, as I was getting to like mile 7 and 8 and 9, that I needed new strength. My old strength was somewhere back at mile 4 or 5. And so spiritually, we get that way. We need new strength. And that happens when we wait on the Lord. He knows what we need. He knows when we're weak. He knows when our wisdom isn't enough. And so, wait expectantly, believing God's going to provide what He said He was going to do. Second way we can wait is wait continuously. Psalms 25:5 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." You know, it's back to that picture of time that when we want stuff from God, we want it now. God says, wait all the day. See, because we understand, We believe God so often for salvation, but we don't always believe God for all the other stuff. Because, see, salvation's more than that one-time event in your life when you choose to believe in Jesus Christ. We constantly live out our salvation. We constantly need to depend on God. All the day. Wait continuously. David goes on to say, Psalms 25:21, wait righteously. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. See, sometimes we don't know what the next step is. We don't know what to do. That's why we're waiting on God. But what do you do while you're waiting on God? You wait by doing what you know to do, by living in integrity, by doing the right thing. You continue to do what you know to do. Wait courageously. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. And then he emphasizes it. Yes. Wait for the Lord. See, David, the writer of those words, was constantly in some kind of conflict. Someone was wanting to kill him. He was having to battle with people all the time. So he had to be courageous. But he did it. He was courageous while he waited for the Lord. Multiple times. Go back and read 1 Samuel. Multiple times David could have taken things into his own hands. Sometimes he did. But multiple times he didn't. And he gave God the glory for it. And he knew that he had to wait on the Lord to provide. Wait patiently. Yes, I said the P word. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. See, sometimes we get really impatient with God because we see other people doing things that we want to happen in our life. But what does David say? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers. God's got a better plan for you because it's your plan. It's the one he has for you. So it's worth waiting for. Always. And now it's not switched. There we go. Wait hopefully for evildoers. Somehow I switched my consonants there. Evil doers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Back to our story about Abraham. What was part of the promise? They would get the promised land. I've got this land just for you guys. I've got this plan just for you guys. So wait, hopefully, knowing that I've already said that. I mean, how many times you as parents have told your children, yes, we're going to go to the park. Yes, we're going to go to Six Flags. Yes, we're going to go do this. When are we going? You know, why aren't we already halfway there? Now let's go. Let's go. What are we waiting on? Are we there yet? Exactly. That's our response a lot of times to God. We should wait, hopefully. We should expect to happen what we were told would happen. Wait obediently. Wait for the Lord and keep His way. See, there's things that we know that God has told us to do. Continue to do those. Wait obediently in those as you wait. He will exalt you to inherit the land. Again, back to the promise. David reminds us in this verse what the promise was. So I'm going to wait on him. I don't know what your land is. No, when God first put on my heart to come to Lubbock, Texas, from Graham, Texas, was about 7 years before it actually happened. There were times where I got a little antsy. But I realized every time I would bring it up, and Mina said, fine, go on to Lubbock and you can see me on the weekends. You know, I said, well, maybe the time's not right. See, sometimes, even in our excitement about doing something that God's put on our heart to do or to accomplish, we still do what He's told us to do. So in the meantime, for me, that was to continue to pour into the lives of people, to disciple people. Okay, God, I know You told me to do this. I want You to do this. And I know You've put on my heart to do it there. But the time wasn't right. I had to wait. And waiting's not fun. For any of us, it's not. We like the microwave much more than we like the oven, because we get it quicker. Wait confidently. Because of His strength, I will watch for you. For God is my stronghold. Now you notice that the His is not capitalized. That's not talking about God. It's because of the opposition that we face. When David writes this psalm, he's being pursued. People are trying to kill him. It's because of the enemy's strength that I need to wait on the Lord. And he says, I will watch for you, capitalized. I will watch for God to give me what I need. For God is my stronghold. Not all that other stuff of life, but God is. Wait silently. Oh, man. My soul, wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from Him. You know, and every time I think about that verse and waiting silently, it's like, but God, let me give you some suggestions. God, I want to help you with this one. You know, because I'm living right in the middle of this event right now, and you know, I know You're God, and I know You know all about my stuff. But you know, you're not living in Lubbock, Texas. You're not having to deal with all that I have to deal with. Let me help you with that. Dear God, this is the way I think it would work best. Amen. David realized that part of waiting on God sometimes is just be quiet. Wait on Him. He knows what you need. He really does. It's all right to talk to Him about it. He doesn't mind that at all. In fact, you should talk to Him about it regularly. But you're probably not going to manipulate Him with your wonderful words of suggestion. Wait unashamedly. May those who wait for You not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek You not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. So see, when you're waiting on the Lord, do it unashamedly. You know, that person in the office that says, well, why don't you just fix that problem? Just take care of it. No, I'm going to wait on God for God's provision in that area. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe in His promises. And see, what happens when you do that, other people are watching you. And they go, man, I think maybe I can wait on God too. Wait scripturally. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. You know, that W there is a little W. And anytime you see that in Scripture, that's actually the voice of God speaking, just like I'm talking to you. When you see the big W, the capital W, it's God's Word. So for David, He was hearing from God. He was waiting to hear from God. You know, for us, the way we hear from God so often is through the big W, the written word. So spend time there. Let God's word be powerful to you as you wait on Him. He uses that as a tool of communication that's even more powerful than text messaging. Wait prayerfully. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. You pray, you talk to Him, just like I said before. You don't quit doing that. You continue to talk to Him. You listen to Him. You listen to Him. You listen to Him. And you talk to Him, and you listen to Him, and you listen to Him regularly. Some of us struggle with waiting on God because we believe what God has done for us or others in the past. But you can't quite allow yourself to trust Him with your future. And that's what hope is all about. Our hope in God is something that's assured. Remember what Paul said? It's assured. And Abraham knew that. I want to close. For some of you, this will be familiar. I'm going to read from this book. This is a hymnal for you children. There's songs in this book. Okay? I know you thought songs were on the screen, but there are actually songs in this book too. This says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And like a good Baptist, I'm not going to read the third verse. I'm going to skip to the fourth verse. "When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Join me in prayer. God, it's such a privilege to be able to share Your word, and I don't take that lightly. And so God, I just pray that You take Your word today that we've looked at. We've looked at a lot of different verses, lots of different truth from Your word. God, I just pray that Your word's been heard this morning, that Your word has challenged those under the sound of it. And I pray that we can go from here today, each one of us individually. And as Abraham found out, and as Paul knew, that hope in You, the assurance of that hope in You, can give us a life of victory. Not always easy, but because we can depend on Your promises. And You give us the grace to walk in faith and to believe You and to trust You. That we can wait upon You as You be God in our lives. God, we thank You for this time today. Just pray for those who aren't with us, those who are traveling, bring them back to us safely. In Your name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great day.